Whether you've been able to journey with us this whole time, or maybe this is the first time for you to join with us, we have been intentional about doing a sermon series on the book of Proverbs. And over the past few weeks, several weeks, I should say, we intentionally looked at the two paths that are mentioned in the book of Proverbs in hopes that we can gain wisdom and learn how to live a life of wisdom. So to do that, we began by looking at the path of wisdom. And to help us understand what this path consists of, we were intentional about the first two sermons highlighting what the virtues of wisdom are, as well as the blessings of wisdom. And I'll let you know, friends, everything each individual wants in life, like peace, gentleness, mercy, impartiality, sincerity, all of those things can be found in wisdom. For these are the virtues of wisdom. But the book also teaches us that the blessing of wisdom is the prosperity of God. And this is much greater than any idea of material gain or financial wealth. Rather, it is the abundance of the goodness of God. That is something so vast that the human mind cannot truly conceive it. Yet, it is promised to us when we seek to embrace and live a life of wisdom. Now, after those two sermons, we turned the page and looked at the path of folly. And what we explored in that sermon is how foolishness already has built-in punishment for all who choose to be fools. I kind of like the way one theologian explains it. He says it this way. He said, the consequences of foolishness are like the physical law of gravity. While none of us can break the law of gravity, it can and will break us if we disregard it. So it is with foolish people. Now, last week, we recalibrated our focus on what it is that we can do internally to gain and or maintain wisdom living. And that sermon specifically challenged us to inspect our relationships. Inspect those who have inner influence on our life. And the reason that was so important for us to understand is because wisdom and foolishness are transferred by association. That's what the book of Proverbs tells us repeatedly. In understanding this truth, I asked each of us to examine who has influence on our lives and to inspect what type of influence we are projecting on others. And I concluded my thoughts on the five marks of a wise friendship. Now listen, if you missed any of this series, I want to encourage you to watch those other sermons. You can do so right here on Facebook, or you can go to our YouTube channel, Green Forest United Methodist Church, and catch each one of those sermons. I truly believe, not because I preach them or because I crafted them, but because of what the richness of the content that it details for us. I think that if you'll do so, you will see that not only does each message complement one another, but it's a teaching tool for all of us who are serious about wanting to live a life of wisdom. Now, today we're going to continue with that same focus by investigating the power of the tongue. And to do this, we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 18, verses 17 through 21. I want to invite you to join with me as we look at these scriptures, beginning in verse 17, where it says, in a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. Casting the lot settles disputes and keeps strong opponents apart. A brother wrong is more unyielding than a fortified city. Disputes are like the barred gates of a citadel. From the fruit of their mouths, a person's stomach is filled. With the harvest of their lips, they are satisfied. For the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it, will eat its fruit. You know, it's our tradition here at Green Forest United Methodist Church to conclude each scriptural reading with saying, this is the word of God for the people of God, and all responds, thanks be to God. Would you please join me in a short prayer? Oh, Lord, today we come and we seek once again to kind of chew on the richness and the challenges of the teachings of the book of Proverbs. Help us to examine, Lord, as we listen. Help us to examine how we use our tongue, and help us to understand that the power of our words, that they have over others as well as ourselves. This I pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Listen, I want to start this sermon time a little different than usual. I want to start by asking you a direct question. Do you have any idea how many words you use and speak within the course of an ordinary day? There is a research that was done that says each person here watching will open their mouth an average of 700 times a day. And in those 700 times, you will use an average of 18,000 words. Now, that sounds like a lot, and it is. But what does that look like annually? Well, I come across an illustration about Tom Clancy and some of his writings, and I want to use him as a contrast to help us get an idea to the volume of the words that we speak yearly. Now, most of Clancy's novels are anywhere from 500 to 700 pages. And within those pages are an estimated half to three-quarter of a million words. So if we average 18,000 words a day, that will translate to about 54 pages in a novel of Tom Clancy's. So in a year's time, in 1 year's time, an average person would fill 66 books with 800 pages. You see, every year, brothers and sisters, you and I write at least 66 volumes with our own words that are actually larger than the novels of the author named Tom Clancy. And if we can wrap our mind around this, then we can begin to see why the author of Proverbs is wanting us to realize how much power we have under our nose. I mean, just as the words of Clancy are able to paint an image and create a feeling within our minds as we read his novels, the Bible tells us that our words are so powerful that they can bless or curse, encourage or discourage, hurt or heal, tear down or build up. And here's a harsh truth about the reality of what our verses said. A harsh reality for all of us, even for me. You see, everything I have said, everything you have said this past week has either been life-giving or death-dealing. And there's nothing in between. You either incited or discouraged, inclined or defeated, inspired or deterred someone with what you said. Now, as people who I hope are seeking wisdom, we must ask ourselves, how do we go forward using our language to reflect that we are influenced, guided, and a source of wisdom? Now, Proverbs tells us that there are several things that we can do. Even the book of James offers insight about the tongue. But instead of me trying to read all those scriptures and fumble through the Bible and try to keep you engaged in this time of worship, I want to share with you a much simpler formula that's not original of me. And it can be applied to every situation, but especially those situations where we began to speak over controversial issues or a person or a subject that we have a biases or a prejudice toward, especially toward any type of thing that could be, that we could chime in on verbally that could be divisive. And we should also use this method of, or this formula prior to us trying to impart wisdom into a family member or a friend. And the formula is actually an acronym of the word THINK, T-H-I-N-K. So T stands for this, is it true? H stands for, is it helpful? I says, is it inspiring? N says, is it necessary? And K wants to know if it is kind. You see, if we understand the power in the spoken word of God and that we are made in the image of God, then that means our words have power. And they must be used to offer hope, give life, and impart wisdom. But to do this will demand of all of us, me included, to stop name calling, stop using harsh words. And when I talk about harsh words, friends, I'm not talking about the tone with which we speak. I get hackled by my wife all the time about my tone. A person's tone has nothing to do with the intent or delivery or usage of verbiage that is being expressed. Words have meaning. And when we choose specific words to say to another, we're telling somebody how we feel or what we think about them or how we value them. So we're going to have to, again, stop name calling, stop using harsh words. We're going to have to stop exaggerating, lying, gossiping, slandering, misplacing complaints, bragging, being ungrateful, criticizing, and being cynical. Now, I want to remind you that a lot of us think that to be wise means that we keep our mouth shut. But if you've read this book of Proverbs, you know that it says very specifically that even fools are perceived as wise by simply being silent. So the evidence of wisdom is not by what we do not say. The evidence of wisdom is in one's life is when we take the time to respond in ways that extend affirmation, appreciation, and aspiration, all the while validating people's feelings, efforts, skills, and gifts. We all can do this even when we do not have a constructive response about a situation or an experience. Now, there's another truth in our passage today that I do not want us to miss. And it is referenced in our final verse of our text. Let me share it with you once more. It says, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Did you hear that final part? Those who love it will eat its fruit. You see, if we want the fruit of wisdom in our lives, then we will have it when we are intentional about speaking it into the lives of others. Now, many sermons I've heard on this passage of Scripture always want to imply this only to the people who are foolish or the people who have hateful speech about topics or are continuously putting out negative comments about whatever I think of social media. So forgive me, but you get my point. And what our author is wanting us to understand, what I believe God wants us to understand, especially about that last portion of verse 21, it says, those who love it will eat its fruit, is this. Our words have influence on the way we feel and act, as well as determining our attitude and outlook on life. This truth reminds me of an old sermon illustration. It's going to seem silly at first, but stay with me because it's got a great point. Here's how the story goes. It says a group of frogs were traveling through the woods and two of them fell into a deep pit. All the other frogs gathered around the pit, and when they saw how deep the pit was, they told the two fallen frogs that they were as good as dead. The two fallen frogs ignored their comments and tried to jump out of the pit with all their might. The other frogs kept telling them over and over to stop, that they were as good as dead. Finally, one of the fallen frogs listened to what his friends had been saying, and he gave up. And sure enough, he laid down and died. The other fallen frog, though, continued to jump as hard as he could. And once again, his friends continued to tell him, stop, stop, stop. You're as good as dead. You're wasting your time. Just go ahead and die. But that frog continued to jump harder and harder till he finally made it out. And when he got out, the other frog friend said to him, did you not hear us and what we were saying? And that frog, through his own way of communication, explained to them that he was deaf. He never heard what their words was, but he thought by the passion of what they were saying, they were continuing to encourage him the whole time. And there's a story. I mean, there's a sermon within that story. But here's the point. The wisdom of Proverbs wants us to know that the words of our mouth, as well as the words that are never spoken but are only kept within our mind, has control over our lives, whether we like it or not, or whether we believe it or not. What comes out of our mouth can and will determine our future. As one theologian wrote in regard to me reading and studying for this sermon, he had a quote about Proverbs 18:21, and this is what he said. He says, we are all our own prophets. What we say today impacts our future for tomorrow. I thought that was wisdom within itself. If you and I are going to be people who are longing to grow in wisdom, and that's going to demand of us to break the cycle of saying negative words over ourselves, over others, and every obstacle that comes before us as we seek to grow in wisdom. Because friends, I'll let you know right now, chaos, confusion, and cynicism are not byproducts of wisdom. They are byproducts of foolishness and wickedness. So I want to encourage all of us today to make a deeper commitment about being responsible for our words. For this book of Proverbs wants each of us to understand that our position in life, whether we have lots of authority or on the bottom of the totem pole, all of us have power with our words to heal or to wound, to build up, or to tear down. You and I know for a fact that one simple remark can either make a stranger's day or it can ruin it. By our tongue, we can be a joy to live and work with, or we can make it a nightmare for others. As we all know, what comes out of our mouth is a direct reflection of what is in our hearts. Wisdom, true wisdom, godly wisdom will always affect the heart. And when our heart changes, it changes our speech. So as you think back over what you said last night, this past week, what do your own words tell you about you? As you ponder upon that, I hope and pray that you discover that you are a greater source of wisdom than you are a source of folly. Have a great Labor Day weekend. I offer this to you today in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.